Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the HNJ Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Despite the fact he's playing at Twickenham tomorrow, I'm delighted to say Caden Murley came into the studio to see us. He's the Harlequins wing, although we did try and get him to switch codes as you're here. But he was on very good form. Good to chat to him. Talking about an old housemate and his football team. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We had two chats.
We did.
You challenged me.
All got a bit bonkers. And we also heard from a lot of the managers ahead of the weekend's games, and we had a bit of a chat around that. So I think that should do you. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And with VAR is obviously in the news with Sweden. I'll just read you a little bit from my notebook last night watching the Brighton City game. I've written, oh, VAR. There's one thing having a high bar, but that was appalling. That's a foul by Guardiola on Yao Pedro.
Oh, it
forget,
was.
Forget the height of the bar. Just give the right decision.
Yes.
It's not a high jump, although I think Dick Fosbury would do a better job at Stockley Park.
Is this the sort of stuff you write down when you're watching football?
Yes, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I watched the I didn't think the first one was. There was nothing in that, and it would have been a really soft penalty, the one in the first half. I mean, and I know...
And the second one was the penalty.
No, the
just
second
give the
one...
right decision. Forget about the bar. Forget it.
Exactly. This idea, this high bar for an intervention, which seems to be incredibly low in other games.
Yeah.
So this is the problem, isn't it?
Nonsense.
How can you look at that? It's a bit like the one in the Everton Forest game, the third one, the Everton Forest game the other day. You can't look at that tackle from Colin Hudson-Odoi and say, that's not a penalty. It's nuts.
It's just give the right decision. Whoever's doing the VAR this weekend,
yeah.
just don't bother about the high bar. Forget it. Is it a penalty or not? You know that in your heart. It doesn't matter what the bloke on the pitch has thought. You give what you think it is and make him go and look at it. Then he makes the decision. If he still thinks it's not a penalty, fine.
Maybe we need a time machine. Maybe we need to do what Sweden's doing, really. It's getting to that stage. Standard Collymore is going to join us later
Standard Collymore?
Standard Collymore. I actually prefer the Stand Deluxe Collymore. You get more out of it. Costs a few more quid, but it's better,
I agree.
We may get standard Collymore, may get GTI Collymore, we'll see. But anyway, we'll get some kind of Collymore. And I know he did, of his many followers on social media, he's asking if they could scrap VAR today, would they do
it? Yeah, I took part in that,
We'll see, so did I. We'll see what the findings were when Stan joins us a little bit later on to look ahead to the Premier League weekend.
Talking of Brighton, I mean, I wrote this down as well. Was Brighton's performance worse than Chelsea's because they were at home? And then it struck me that Todd Boehly and co have stuffed both clubs. Not only they wrecked Chelsea, they've now wrecked Brighton, really, because they've had quite a poor season.
Right.
It's fantastic.
He's got the Midas in reverse touch, old Todd, isn't he, really?
And this is interesting. They touched on this in breakfast, but I honestly think City look better without Haaland. I don't mean more effective, because last season proves that he's brilliant for them. But actually, aesthetically, they're more pleasing on the eye to watch without
him. That's all that matters. Not about crashing in 30-odd goals a season.
No.
I know aesthetically that doesn't do it for you.
And I've written this one, Belieber. Then I saw his face.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all your notes, is it?
I had some notes from Wednesday night, but that's such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, it does strike me that I do owe Everton fans an apology. I sort of gave them no chance in that game against Liverpool, and they were great.
They were.
A week is such a long time in football, isn't it? Last week, a 6-0 thrash. It's been two wins for Everton, two defeats for Chelsea, and it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although Darren Bent did say that Chelsea have been toothless recently. I think God, blimey, they did score six goals last week. Yes. Not that toothless.
They
but
did.
There we go, that's the way it is.
Now, it's Football Shirt Friday, raising much-needed funds for the fight against bowel cancer by the Bobby Moore Fund.
Yeah.
And Cancer Research UK. And a number of the team are wearing their colours today. There's a couple of emergency ones in the production staff there. Georgia with Arsenal fan with no Scottish roots. Wearing that really nice Scotland shirt with a tartan. It is a very nice tartan. And the producer, I couldn't find anything to fit him apart from what the TalkSport trophy shirt.
He looks like the sort of thing Moose would wear on the weekend as leisure wear.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
That's it. When he's just having a walk in the park. Well, Andy, you've got
I bought three.
Like
I like
Madonna.
A choice. I always wear one every hour.
Three different shirts.
Yeah. So for this hour, I've got a. So it's not really strictly a football shirt. It's a lovely Boca Juniors T-shirt. That
oh, okay. Well, you're messing with it.
And then I've got the actual, not the actual, which I did, but the sort of actual replica.
Yeah.
Of Bobby Moore's 1970 shirt.
Once again, I've had to jog your memory. It's one of those Airtechs Mexico 70 England
shirts.
Yeah,
you're right. I just couldn't remember that I still had it. You are right.
It's got number 6 on the back, and it came from the Fantasy World Cup 1998 Brian Lebone Phoenix. Mm. So that is a proper vintage shirt. You've had that since 1998 already.
Amazing. Still, and this one... I bought during COVID. It's a Pescara shirt. I think it was a charity.
They raise money for Italian Rainbow. COVID charities. Yeah. So there, I'm showing it to camera one. I've only brought the one. I've gone New York Cosmos.
It's nice. That's the old traditional. Yeah,
Beckham
very nice
Beckham Bow towards the end, Georgie Chinaglia sort of era. It's a bit like a Leeds shirt. Mm. I'm wondering whether I'll be bringing Leeds a bit of luck tonight. Isn't it? It's got a bit of a Leeds feel to it, so around the collar. So anyway, we'll stick out a picture and all the information. We'll be bringing you as well for how you can make a donation. The simplest way, really, is just is often the case on your mobile phone, just to text. So we'll get that for you shortly, and you can donate a fiver for a great cause. So the other thing was on football shirts. Now and again, they have become kind of mainstream leisure wear, as people say in America.
Yeah,
and you do see them sometimes at the unlikeliest places. I don't know, has anybody ever turned up to a wedding in one? I mean, only in an episode of Shameless, I don't know. But has anybody ever kind of, you think, really? Football shirt? Job interview.
I don't
Has anybody ever gone, or court?
Job interview.
Or court.
Oh, no, court, that would be bad.
Yeah. I mean, on two levels. One, in case the judge supports the enemy.
That's true.
It's kind of,
Yeah, that'd be a very bad idea.
I mean, the thing is, you could turn up.
Or the jury.
You could go online, get yourself one of these 35 quid bum freezer suits, couldn't you? Which you can sometimes buy that you get one wear out of for a race meeting. You could buy, you could spend 70 quid, say, on an outfit to wear to court or a wedding, and it would still be cheaper than a football shirt.
It's true. But nothing's as bad as these. I don't get this. This, like, Balenciaga football shirt.
They're very much all the rage at the moment, aren't they?
What a price. I mean, you're not forced to buy. It's up to you. But £1,050 for this sort of quite terrible, ill-fitting football shirt. I don't get it.
Some of the unlikely places where you saw someone modelling a football shirt, wearing a football shirt. And Andy thinks Football Shirt Friday's brilliant. I came up with one for builders today, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
It's Daggett and Smile Friday, Bumcrack Friday, raising money for the Builders Benevolent Fund.
You all got to walk about
by
with
giving
that.
Us your little Daggett and Smile, making sure those jeans are sitting just a touch lower than they, not too low, obviously. There comes a point, but if you want to bring another great Friday event, we'll take those
dress
as well.
Dress shirt Friday.
We thought Untuck It Shirt Friday.
I've got a hair shirt Friday as well.
Yeah, you need one of those.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, it is time to take a look at this weekend's rugby action, thanks to Premiership Rugby. And we're delighted to say we're joined in the studio by a man who will be playing at Twickenham tomorrow.
Yes.
Harlequins against Northampton. Cade Murley, the wing, joins us. Good afternoon, Cade. Good to see you.
Good afternoon. Good to be here, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So
it'll be a big game, isn't it? 60,000 expected. So
yeah, exciting. We love these games. Yeah,
of course.
Obviously, just over the road for us, which is nice. And 60,000 against the top of the table. So yeah, we're massively excited for it.
There's a tradition, isn't there, when you play at Twickenham's as Quins players. Tell us what you do.
Yeah, so we go over to the stoop, we all arrive at the stoop, which is just across the road, and then we all get together as a squad, all the staff, and we all walk over and we'll walk over the bridge over to Twickenham and all the fans kind of cheer us along.
Like a guard of honour, is it?
Yeah,
from the fans?
Yeah, which is, and you see thousands and thousands of people there and it just gets those emotions bubbling, gets you excited for what's ahead.
It's a bit like the Hacker, but a walk.
Yeah. it's a great idea, though, isn't it? I mean, do you know where the tradition comes from? I mean, it's probably ancient, is it, I guess?
Yeah, but I think they've done it for every big game. I mean, we've got Danny Kerr, who's actually played in every big game since they started. So I think since the start, they've been doing that.
Yeah. It's going pretty well. I mean, a win tomorrow, where would that take you, sort of top four?
Yeah, so we're in fifth at the moment.
Yeah.
I think that would take us into the top four, depending on other results. So, yeah, we're hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, but as you said, they are flying. They're a good side, aren't they? It's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, they're the form team in the Prem at the moment. Yeah. I think they've got a great group of youngsters who are playing some brilliant rugby. And we know whenever we play them, it seems to be a high scoreline. I think last time was 36-33, and we've played them before where it's both teams up in the 40s. Everyone always says defence is optional when these two teams play. So it'll be an exciting game.
Yeah.
You mentioned Danny Kerr there and scrum half, of course. There's a piece in the paper about rugby players' earnings. Yeah. And it turns out that scrum halves are the lowest paid generally.
Sure that's not Danny, I'm sure.
I think he might be an outlier.
It's quite odd. Would there be a reason for that? I can't think of it.
No, I'm not sure. But you look across the Premiership as a whole, and I think there's a lot of young Premiership nines that have come in. I think they're starting to back the English youth. And England have been known to produce some brilliant young nines. Your likes of Alex Mitchell's, your Harry Randall's coming through. So there's loads of young English talent. So I guess maybe because some of them are more academy players, like progressing at the moment, maybe that's why the wage seems to be a bit lower.
Fly halves are the best paid, apparently.
Always.
Well, they're like the quarterbacks.
Hookers are doing all right. Locks aren't doing too bad. Fullbacks aren't doing too bad. The back row had the biggest percentage drop. Nothing about people who play on the wing here, so we'll take that as good news. I was watching and ready from you coming in. I went onto YouTube as you always do and watched a little show reel, and watching you, I was immediately thinking, he'd be a great rugby league player. Has there ever something that's sort of come up?
Yeah, I mean, we had Sean Long, who's obviously one of the great Britain greats, proper great in rugby league. So he came in and just picking his brains. He also thought the same. I've always looked at it, and I watch the NRL a lot. I watch a lot of league because I think their athlete and their finishing and a lot of their traits we can bring into rugby union.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've always thought I'd love to give it a go, but at the moment I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing in the union.
It's that low centre of gravity thing you've got where you're very hard to stop.
Kind way of calling me short.
It makes it, when you get ahead of steam up and you're right, you're just very hard to get hold of.
No,
and
definitely.
Players like that do incredibly well in rugby league.
Yeah, exactly. I think having that balance and being able to beat people that way is definitely something I try to use.
The great Rob Burrow, of course, was brilliant at that. You know, you're a bit like that. People used to write you off, I understand, for being too short, you wouldn't make it, etc.
Yeah, I remember I got told by, this was under 16s, by a county coach, you're never going to make it, you're not big enough, you're not quick enough, you're not strong enough. Completely wrote me off, and it just shows
that's always a good incentive, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it also shows don't let one person's opinion stop you trying to chase your dream and do what you want to do, because that just inspired me to want to prove him wrong and go on to better things.
Yeah. You are a Manchester United fan, we understand, as well.
I am, yes.
Why is that?
So my older cousin, I'm from Cornwall.
Yeah.
There's not much football in Cornwall.
Okay.
Like the only team nearby, you've got Plymouth nearby, but even that's a bit too far up. There's not much football going on in Cornwall. My dad didn't support a team. My grandparents didn't. They're all very rugby. But my older cousin was a big Manchester United fan.
Right.
So he was the only person I really, really spoke football to. And I guess they're obviously doing all right back then as well. So I guess I latched onto that, and that's why I've been a supporter ever since.
Well, did you play much football at all?
Yeah, I tried to play as many sports as I could. My dad, there was a point where I think I was about 10 or 11 where my mum was like, you have to let him choose what sport he wants to do. If he wants to choose football, you're going to have to let him. But luckily I chose rugby and here I am.
Yeah. And you've got a big European game next week. I was going to say you're going to lose, but you're not going to lose, but you are going to lose, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. European semi-final, first time Harlequins have ever been there. So, yes, an exciting opportunity for the Premiership. We've obviously got two teams in there, Northampton in the other semi-final as well. So Premiership rugby's booming and we're excited by the challenge. I think everyone's written us off, but we like being the underdogs at Harlequins. Yeah.
And you live with Marcus Smithies?
Well, you did. I said lived.
Yeah, for four years. Yeah. In his house, I rented off him. He was my landlord, and he was a pretty good landlord.
Good landlord.
Yeah, he was actually. Yeah, he was very fair.
Tidy.
Yeah, he was very, he was tidy.
he looks like he'd be quite tidy.
Yeah, he's exciting.
You played a lot of FIFA, I understand, during that period, didn't you?
I still like to think I can take him on FIFA, so I still like to hold that crown in the house.
Do you play the kind of EA rugby games
is
as
there
well?
One?
Well, I mean,
so there's one in development. I don't think it's been released yet.
Oh, okay. They used to be years ago.
Yeah, there's been the Jonah Lomu rugbies, and there's been the Rugby World Cup 2011, but I think there's a massive market for it. I think it's the way football grows. Like, people want to play football, your managers, your FIFAs, your fantasy footballs. That's how you grow the stars of the game, by young kids seeing them, being able to play with them on TV. So, yeah, I think there is a game in the making.
And then all the players can start getting paranoid about their numbers, the way they feel like, especially in the NFL, they'll get really upset about it.
That's true.
So you're going to be coming up on the Northampton side. There's some decent players in there, isn't there? A few players that you know, I'm sure, along the way.
Yeah, I've played with a lot of them at England age groups. Obviously, opposite me on the other wing, Ollie Slyton, who's the current Prem top try scorer. I was that last season. So, yeah, I've got a bit of catching up to there with some injuries at the start. But no, yeah, they've got a massively exciting back line, especially, and they can score tries from nowhere. So we're excited by the challenge.
And you played for England A a short while ago and had a decent game, so you'll be hoping you can get a game for the full side, definitely.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I think that's a good stepping stone. I think it's great to have that back. There hadn't been a game for quite a few years before that. I think it's a good progression between that England under-20s stuff, the academy kind of sort of level, and then up to the seniors, and gets you in that environment, learning the same calls in the seniors. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Your name has come up quite a few times when people have talked about those players that could step up. So, I mean, does Steve Borthwick had a chat with you at all along the way?
Yeah, he's very in contact. I mean, I think he's really good at keeping the communication open. If you ever have any questions, or he'll ring you after a game just to chat through things, and chatting to the new defence coach, Felix Jones, who's come from the former World Champs of Africa, picking his brain on my defence is something I've been doing in the last few weeks as well.
Good stuff. So, are you a bit excited about tomorrow? A bit nervous?
Yeah, these are the games you do get a bit nervous for. I mean, training's always a bit spikier before these games because everyone wants to get selected. So to have my name on the team sheet, it's settled the nerves a bit. And then, yeah, we're looking forward to the challenge.
Is it like football? Do you stay in a hotel overnight, or do you just turn up tomorrow?
No, not to home games. We just turn up tomorrow. Yeah. So, like, Toulouse will fly over the night before, and most away games will stay the night before. But no, just to a home game, we'll just turn up.
A few clubs have been moving away from that. I mean, even for home games, a lot of clubs would get all the players together and they'd stay in hotels in football. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Postecoglou decided not to do that. The players just turn up. He'd rather them be in their own beds the night before.
It seems to make a bit more sense.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, something you're used to with your families. You can just relax maybe a bit more rather than thinking about the game. Yeah, I think it's always worked for us. So,
okay.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, Andy, anything else?
Yeah, when I was talking about Erling Haaland in the start of the show, just conjecturing that we're not more effective without him, but it's better to to look at.
Yes, aesthetically you were arguing.
Yes, that's my own. I've always had
you
this...
You are very much a Brian Glanville when it comes to watching football.
I'm
very much, interested in the aesthetics of the game.
I am, very much so.
Yeah, although wouldn't you... I mean, so maybe they'll sell him at Chelsea. Is this your ruse to actually get a striker?
No.
Is this the... Klopp says, yeah, Andy was right.
Yeah, exactly. I've always had this theory, though, with Erling Haaland. Like, he's so big.
Yeah.
I think eventually he could be too big. I see him like 36 playing in the National League.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've always had this theory that I think he's just going to get too big at such a... But he's so big. But he does have a fabulous style.
When you say big, you mean like he's going to get taller?
Not taller. He can get taller. He's going to fill out. He doesn't need to fill out, does he? If he starts to fill out too much,
you think he's going to be a big lad?
Well, he's quite a big lad
now. Running his own pub by the time he's 36.
No, I don't see that.
I think this sounds like all wishful thinking, Mr. Andy. Yeah.
Yeah. What can you do?
We asked you Football Shirt Friday, and we asked you earlier on some of those unlikely places where a football shirt has been worn. I mean, you expect to see him at the match. You expect to see him. You don't necessarily expect to see him at an evening do at a wedding.
No.
A friend of mine went paintballing wearing a Millwall shirt in East London. Needless to say, he got absolutely hammered, said Richard. That's the thing. It does mark you out as a fan of a club. And an environment like that, you're asking for trouble, aren't you?
Mm.
So some of those unlikely places you saw and worn, talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089, tweet to TSH&J. Quick one of those. I went to I'm a Wickham fan. I went to a wedding back in 2011. Recognised the vicar, but couldn't place him. After the service, whilst photos were being taken, he takes off his robe to reveal his Wickham shirt, then jumped on his bike and set off for the match. So he was ready to go.
Brilliant.
That's my friend Dan Goldstein, who I started 90 Minutes with. His dad used to do a very, very similar thing. He'd be doing a service, and then he'd all be ready to go. As soon as he got changed, straight off to the match.
Why not?
Fantastic. Anyway, Andy, what have you got
for
us?
Well, talking of wearing the appropriate clothes, I've got a lovely reader's office here, this reader's trousers. This is for the classic stretch denim.
Nice.
Amazing stretch waist denim for a comfortable fit. Pair with smart and casual layers, whatever the occasion.
Wow.
Or like a wedding or a funeral. Maybe that's not going to happen, is
maybe
it?
Maybe with a nice Rochdale shirt.
With a nice...
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the way. Again, it could come together very nicely.
And
yeah.
I spotted this in the court circular. The Princess Royal, Princess Anne, this afternoon attended DNA Day at the centre at Granter Park in Great Abingdon. You think, there's one person who doesn't need to know their DNA. It's her, isn't it? Surely.
I would imagine so, yeah.
The old family, quite well documented, I would have said, but there we are.
Yeah.
This, and I do love these surveys. This is a survey about... if people know where their food and drink come from.
Yeah.
And 64% of British people think that tea is British.
Oh,
it's
right.
Amazing,
really?
Isn't it?
Are they really?
They probably think it comes from Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's the home of it.
Well done.
Of course, yeah.
And I did enjoy Gary Neville when they asked him for the man of the match this week for the Everton-Liverpool game. He said, "Your man of the match, Gary." And he sort of deliberately gave it the big belt. He went, "Daniel Calvert-Lewin, I think."
Oh,
what about Dominic?
Yeah.
Did he get one?
His brother Daniel had a very good game.
He did. He's got the most wonderful hang time, Calvert-Lewin, when he's playing well.
That
he's
cracking,
such a terrific
was
player.
Was a cracking header,
if he could
it?
Stay fit, you know.
Yeah. You were in the other day when we spoke to Tom Gilby. That was your day, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Tom
it was good,
did the London Marathon. He is a wine connoisseur. And wine dealer. And he did the London Marathon having a glass of wine on every mile. And then describing it and guessing what it was just from giving it a bit of a... And he was a couple of them he liked so much he finished the glass off, which is probably not ideal for a marathon. But off the back of that, Patrick Kidd in the Times in his diary column said, it's a great tradition of that. He took us back to Spiridon Louis. Remember the guy with the... It was the 1896. He was quite a famous marathon.
Oh, right, yeah, no, I can't say.
The modern Olympics.
I thought you were there, but I don't remember.
Basically, he did the first Olympic marathon on Retsina. Patrick says he demanded wine the night before the race before warming up the next morning with a couple more glasses.
Well, those were the days.
So much for, it's not like the old super trainers these days.
You know, what's his name? C.B. Fry. He had a brandy and a cigar and then went out and set the long jump, world long jump record.
That was it. Yeah, different times.
Sport's different in those days.
About 18 miles into the race, Spiridon Louis took a break for some cognac.
Morning. Of course he did.
Yes, he doesn't fancy doing the breakfast show, old Spiridon, does he?
Spiridon.
And then he said, I was so refreshed that I put my back into it. Afterwards, yeah. Later on, he accepted another glass of wine as they ran through the Athens suburbs. Blimey, he got properly on it during a marathon. Part of his prize was three barrels of wine.
Of course they were.
As Alan would say.
Tremendous. That's a good story.
Yeah, what about that?
I was fascinated by this story from John Etheridge in The Sun this morning. It's about drop-in pitches weighing 30 tonnes were shipped from Australia to America for the T20 World Cup. Yeah. Pitches are grown in huge trays in Adelaide and then made a 14,000-mile journey. You think, I was reminded of that great question of Alan to David Ginola. Do they have grass in America, Debbie? Why would they need to do that? Why can't they just do their own pitches? Surely they have grass. Surely it'd be cheaper to send out a groundsman than to send the large trays of pitch all the way.
Well, you're asking the wrong person. You're asking the wrong person.
I don't care at all.
Now, have you ever heard, Andy, of the band Vampire Weekend?
I have heard of them. I couldn't name any of their songs, though, but I've heard of them, well, Your Honour.
Yeah, they have a Vampire Weekend, my lad. Popular American music trio, my lad. Yes. Oh, yeah, carry on. So, Ezra Koenig, who's the frontman, lead singer.
I've heard of him,
The band, okay. He said, in promoting the new album, which has just come out, back spending time in the UK, he said, I went to watch Luton play. He went to a Luton match. Yeah, he said, I went to a Luton match. My manager is involved with the team, so I got to meet some of the players. We had a great time, he said. Yeah. But don't worry, Forest fans, or indeed Mr. Maranakis.
Is he in Stuart Atwell's box?
He was. Ezra won't be allowed to referee any games involving Nottingham Forest, basically because he's a songwriter for Vampire Weekend, but that's definitely not going to happen. Imagine if they did. They just get just a referee this afternoon, Ezra Koenig, Vampire Weekend, no official qualifications, just doing it to wind Maranakis up, basically. Mm. Yes. Anything else?
Anything else? Let me have a look at my list. Because I did have a very long list.
He always has a go at me and he says, oh, I had so much stuff, you never gave me time.
Very harsh.
You never gave me time. And
that's on the days when I haven't got time.
Then I give him time and it's like parchment.
That's right.
So I was reading out the paper.
Okay, this bloke wrote to The Sun. There's a fabulous waste of ink, this one. Paul Neves in Bournemouth. He said, Footy Pandit. The reason I don't read them out is I can't actually read them out.
Well, if anybody listens to the Apple podcast, they'll know, of course.
I did enjoy this week's. It was very funny. Footy Pundit. Yes. Gary Neville should resign from Sky.
Okay.
This outspoken and negative man is too emotional and lets his own thoughts cloud his judgment. All right, then, I'm sure he will now. He's heard that
he's
from
a man,
you.
He's a man after your own heart.
Yeah.
I think he wrote that with The Sun.
There's nothing wrong with having an opinion, is there?
What we got here, Gareth. Hope you're well. I work for BT and was involved with interviews last year when we indeed had a candidate turn up wearing a football shirt. He had a bag with him and explained he was due to go play a game straight after the interview and was just getting ready for it in advance. Mm. He said it was a cup game and really important. He actually did get the job. I suppose that's the way to do it, isn't it? Not just rock up like you haven't put the shirt and tie on, but you've turned up in the football shirt. And, got
no
the
one's
gig.
Ever turned up in a full kit, though, have they?
I wouldn't.
For a job interview.
That might have been. John Dean. We used to love old John, didn't we? He used to wear full kit.
Like he loved the full kit, yeah.
Like he would refuse to think that there might be an opportunity he could still come on, even into his early 50s when he was managing on the touchline.
Tremendous.
Back in the day.
The Daily Star have a thing called Fact of the Day, which, I mean, you know, can be quite useful little sort of
factoids
make you think. But this one doesn't make... This isn't a fact. Newcastle United have held training sessions on the beach at Long Sands. What's that, fact of the day? That's just a statement, isn't it?
Statement of the day. And did you know Kai Havertz, your new favourite player, of course? Would you have
player.
Him back, Andy?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Bitter.
Not really. I mean, I think Cole Palmer's better than him and done better than him. He's all right. He's had a little patch. I told you, that's what Havertz does.
Yeah.
He has patches. Where was he against Bayern Munich, though? That's also typical of him as well.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, it's quite easy when they're beating up Chelsea, you know, a sort of depleted Chelsea team.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, fine.
You've hardly any money to spend on players.
It doesn't matter how much you spend if 12 of them are injured every week.
Oh, well. You're not the only club.
Oh, no. Much more injuries than any other club. I'm pretty sure.
I bet there's people out there who've been sawn off with injuries this year.
12 every week. I mean, not 10 to 12 players every... Not 1 week.
You can't include Tommy Langley in that.
No, not for people a period who work of in the 6 weeks or something like that, or 3 months of bed. We're talking from August in pre-season when people got injured to now. And also, when they get injured, they never come back. Some bloke said they made a point. Every time they issue a medical release, they say he's in partial team training. He said, why don't we just pick a team of partially team trained players?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Well, ideally, do that next Thursday against Spurs, won't you?
Yeah, great.
I didn't know Kai Havertz. The reason I brought him up is that he opened a donkey sanctuary in Germany last year. Were you aware of this?
Oh, I am aware of this, yeah.
I never knew about his love of donkeys.
Yeah, no, he's a good bloke. You know, he's a caring sort of chap and everything. Yeah, no, I mean, he's a good player, he is. And I do like this letter, though, and this actually has resonance for me at the moment. Viewers, not Vickers.
Oh, for goodness sake. Why do you keep looking to read out loud when you can't?
Because we get a lot from
Vickers?
It.
Is it Vickers?
Now, you'll see why.
Is it
because
Viewers?
Viewers are given trigger warning, so I just thought I could.
You just make it one word.
Vickers.
Like Alan does with Cristiano Ronaldo, calling him Cristiano Ronaldo.
Viewers are given trigger warnings before watching reruns of 80s sitcom Terry and June, starring Terry Scott and June Winfield. Thanks for that. I think we know. Yet no caution is given before current shows, which contain sex, nudity, and the F word, says Norman Watson.
I've never watched Sex, Nudity, and the F word.
It's a great show.
Is it a good show?
My wife has got... It's a new guilty pleasure.
Where are we going with this?
Not that.
Okay.
Terry and June.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
She's working her way through the entire canon of Terry and June.
Wow.
She's on about series 5
now. You call Terry and June a canon?
Well, I tell you.
The complete meisterworks of Terry and June.
Yeah, it's actually, it holds up reasonably well.
Well
they don't
great,
need a trigger
they
warning.
Were great comic actors. 03717.
Oh, yeah, they
There's
were.
You. Mr. Zeitgeist there.
Bedford!
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Building up to the weekend. We've got loads of games for you on TalkSport and TalkSport 2, not just in the Premier League, but in League One and the Championship, kicking off tonight with QPR Leeds. But a number of the Premier League managers have been talking this afternoon to the press, and we're going to play you some of the best of that now.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to kick off with Eddie Howe. And he was asked, understandably, about some pictures that emerged yesterday, and we discussed briefly on the show, myself and Charlie. Matt Ritchie, their fine player, was seen getting his HGV licence.
It's tremendous, isn't it?
It's a great story. And this is what Eddie had to say.
I mean, that shocked me. And I think I know Matty pretty well, but I found out about this, that he was learning to drive the heavy goods vehicles about a week ago. But I think it sort of shows his inquisitive nature, and he's always trying to improve himself. So it's a slightly different thing. It's a nice story to talk about.
Can maybe drive you guys around in the team bus next season?
Yeah, I think it might be a bit expensive for us.
you could probably get it cheaper.
Yeah.
There was a bit of conjecture about this because a few people mentioned he could drive the team bus, and somebody in the know came on and said no, he wouldn't be allowed to. But then somebody said no, he would be allowed to. It was quite a raging argument. It's about as raging as it gets on this show. Eddie also admitted that he quite enjoys meditating, but that mostly depends on the result of the game.
I wouldn't say regularly. I'm sort of an infrequent now and then, depending on what results are like. Going through a bad spell might be meditating a little bit more. But I'm well aware of that, the benefits of meditation and going into that kind of world. And I'm all for it, and I support the players who want to do it as well.
Wonder how that
Maharishi Arles.
Yes. I wonder how that.
Come on, give us your.
Maharishi Arleson, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Can us have your meditating players? Come on, no, please, come on, as Alan would say. So there's
nothing wrong with a good bit of meditate. I used to meditate when I was young.
Really?
I haven't done
a lot of meditating this season,
no,
have
I haven't.
You?
It's a long time since
the
I did.
The stress levels have been high.
I used to do the transcendental meditation, as made popular by the Maharishi.
Okay.
Yeah, I went and studied at his school. Well, it was a course, yeah.
Okay.
I gave you a mantra and everything. Oh, yeah.
What was your mantra?
You're not allowed to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently. So they say.
It's like the 11 herbs and spices.
Very much
you
so.
Can't reveal it.
Yeah, I can't.
Really?
I wouldn't bother now anyway.
Was it
but,
Chelsea related?
No.
Probably was, wasn't it? Wow. See, I learn stuff about you every day, Andy. Yeah. So you can transcendentally meditate.
Oh, yeah, I know how to do it. But
why are you such an absolute ball of stress all the time? How's that worked out for you, like a coiled spring?
I have. I prefer being like that.
Anyway, let's hear from Pep Guardiola, the Manchester City manager. Was talking about man of the moment. Two fine goals for him last night. Again, once again, well, I say, bit of a spawny free kick with a deflection. The second goal was great there, wasn't it? Just more or less, just to bury it.
I like De Bruyne's goal. I thought it was superb.
That was a cool call, wasn't it? But no, Foden is playing so sensationally well, and Pep was asked about him.
Phil have a sixth gear, but he cannot play all the time with sixth gear. Had to play with the second and the third. And I think with the time he will learn that today was much better than the two or three days before. Everything is one too quick. No. Football has to say sometimes slower to make quicker after, to surprise the opponent. And today was really good and the movement up in the right moment he attacked when he needs to have to attack. But it's a question of time. He will understand the game through years and years and experiences, and it's going to take him, but he loves to play, and of course the sense of goal is there, and his work ethic is unbelievable, how he runs and press and do it.
And would he be your player of the year?
He's one of them, but I had the feeling that he would have won this is the Premier League, I would say, but I don't know, it's not in my business. And but he's one of them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He mentioned second, third and sixth gear. What about first, fourth and fifth?
Well,
what happened to them?
We just take those as read. As a member of the Football Writers Association, I get a vote for the Footballer of the Year.
That's good.
And I haven't done it yet. And because it's quite tricky. Mm. There's still a few people sort of rattling around. I haven't got long left, really.
Anyone bad as Shield, no?
It's not in. He didn't make
not
it, funny enough.
Well,
I mean, he's on my long list, Andy.
Okay.
Clement long list.
Yeah, very
much. He's not on it either.
No, he wouldn't.
But there was a nice little bit with...
There's some very good candidates.
Oh, yeah.
This,
no, there are. There are, but, you know, it's just what you can only pick one. That isn't the thing. Jamie Redknapp last night was extolling the virtues of Phil Foden after the match where they were going through the game. And they kind of slightly tired himself. He said, just watch the way he plays. If there's any young kids watching, and then he said, well, I won't be, it's 10 past 10. And he did, and then Dave Jones said, well, they could watch in the morning. And I thought, okay, when's this, how are they going to keep going down this route? So if you're a young kid, you've got up, you're watching the replay of this. No, they didn't. They left it there.
Jeff Peters has come up with a meditating footballer, my favourite player, Benoit Buddha Shield.
Oh, very, very good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Anyway, let's hear from Mikel Arteta. The Arsenal manager was asked if he's built a squad that will challenge for the title for years to come.
I hope so, but that's something that you have to show every season, every game. And in this league, that's extremely difficult to do it two years in a row. We're not satisfied with that. We want to win it. And we're going to make everything that we can to win it. And if we do win it, we will try again to win it. And if we don't, for sure we'll try again.
And if you don't win it, it's still progress, right, this season?
I'm not thinking about that at the moment. I'm just thinking how we're going to win it.
And finally, how do you view the supercomputer, which has you at 26.6% to win it?
I don't know what to say. Hopefully we can tweak that computer and make it a bit higher. Maybe he needs to upload the software. Maybe we need to help him to upload the software or give him more tools.
He's right, Arteta. The supercomputer is like an old drunk. It just sort of lurches from one. It honestly is because a team wins one game, and then suddenly, you're 86% chance. You might as well get anybody.
He goes to Supercomputers Anonymous.
No, he is. It's just one minute you're 26% favourite, then you win another game, you're 86%
favourite. Oh, it's
some
nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the beauty of this race.
How super is it?
Each weekend it'll change. There'll be, you know, that's we all hope it goes down to the final day. I do anyway.
Should we hear from Erik ten Hag?
Yeah.
On a serious note, yes, we do have to. Because he's been talking about Marcus Rashford today. Man, he's been in the news earlier on today. Jim and Simon and Martin were chatting about it. And he has called for people to put faith in Marcus to get back to the level he was at last season.
I have a lot of sympathy for Rashie, of course. And so last year, he had a brilliant season, I think. The best season in his career. He scored 30 goals, so there you see where he's capable of. And this season, he didn't give the performances, and then people are very critical. And I think we have to back him. And everyone should back him and push him to get back to the levels he was last year.
You know, I'm never going to condone personal abuse. That's completely out of order. But, you know, you have to say, if a bloke goes from 30 goals to scoring 7 goals, he's entitled to get some criticism. He's earning about 300 grand a week.
It's the nature of that criticism,
of course. But, you know, from his point of view, just get off social media. Don't read it. It's so destructive. You don't need it. You don't need to read it. And you don't need to be 25 to 1 in the morning, you know, replying to it.
Yeah.
I don't think, anyway.
And finally, we're going to hear from Ange Postecoglou, the Tottenham manager, head of the North London Derby, was speaking to the media earlier on today.
If I'd said to you at the beginning of the season that you would lose Harry Kane, but with 6 games to go, you'd be 5th in the Premier League table, you would have taken that, wouldn't you?
No. No, I'd be disappointed, mate.
You think you should be higher?
No. You said to me what I would have taken at the start of the year. You didn't ask me whether I think we should be higher. I don't start any year thinking we're going to finish 5th. So what I'm saying is at the start of the year, I wouldn't have settled for 5th. I would have tried to win it all. Where we are, I think, is a fair reflection of our season. I think we've been pretty good, but we have been inconsistent. We've had some challenges with, you know, injuries and suspension at different times, which are all indicative, I think, of a group that's still learning about how to be, you know, a real strong competitor in this league. But I don't think anyone would say that we're in a false position. I think we've earned where we are.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Spurs have played some lovely football this year at times. But like a lot of teams below the top three, they are inconsistent.
And that's our old producer there, George Cummins, asking the question, getting a mate. When you got a mate from...
mate.
You get a mate from Ange, you know, it's
not going
well. He calls
everybody mate, though, doesn't he, really?
Yeah. He does.
He does.
He weaponises it, doesn't he?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's how it all unfolded today. We return on Monday, and Danny Kelly will join us. Andy Brassel, a lot of the Monday regulars will be popping up as we reflect.
Right, miserable thing, wasn't it?
It could be. We both got absolutely bashed. Yeah, it won't be a lot of fun. Who knows? We may come in with a spring in our step for a change.
Jay Boothroyd joins us as well.
Oh, good. Okay, Jay Boothroyd.
John Boothroyd.
We have a new producer, and he's absolutely terrible at getting names right. It's amazing. Jay Boothroyd, yeah. Recently seen in Ted Lasso, playing for Manchester City against AFC Richmond. So we'll have a chat with Jay about that. So do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast will be available at 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.